Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we will not be talking about the news of the week, and I will not be having a conversation with someone you may want to know more about. Instead, it is time for one of our thrice annual restaurant drafts. I have assembled an expert panel. Today, we are going to talk about our favorite chain restaurants. We want the big boys today. We're talking about restaurants with more than 20 locations in at least five states. We're not messing around with local chains. We're going big here. We want to talk about the restaurants that feed the people, as it were. To do that, I am joined by, as I said, an expert panel. I will introduce y'all in the order in which you will be drafting. I, as decided by a random draw by our producer, Michael Carroll, have the first overall pick. Picking second, she is the general manager of Basso and a Houston hospitality veteran who has worked at any number of restaurants and bars. Sarah Dowling, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I am very well. Happy to be here. Very excited.
He is the owner of Burger Bodega, soon opening its second location in Katy. Making his triumphant return to the podcast, Abbas Denani, I'm glad you're here.
Thanks for having me.
He is the Susan Lucci of the What's Eric Eating podcast drafts. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. The owner of Craft Pita, Rafi Nasser, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you for having me. This is my fantasy football draft prep, and I'll win one day.
She is the former Susan Lucci of the What's Eric Eating podcast drafts because she won our date night draft in February. You're about to change jobs, so I can't say where you're working, but Chelsea Thomas, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. Yes, I'm no longer the Susan Lucci, you know, that title is taken away from me, but I'm excited to be here and hopefully I win again. Let's see.
Nothing feels as good as winning, right, Chelsea?
Nothing feels as good as winning.
All right. Let me just go over the rules, both for our panel and the audience. As always, we are picking restaurants and categories in a fantasy football style snake draft. Once a restaurant has been selected in any category, it is off the board in every category. So by the time this is done, we will have five teams with six different restaurants for a total of 30 different restaurants. We will go in a snake draft order, which means the person picking first in round one picks last in round two, and the person who picks last in round one picks first in round two. We will go back and forth for six rounds until we have completed the draft. You may take your restaurants in any order. These are the categories in alphabetical order. We have breakfast, we have burgers, we have fast casual, ice cream, steakhouse, and of course, our beloved wild card. With that said, panel, are you ready?
I am ready.
Let's roll.
With the first overall selection in the What's Eric Eating Ultimate Chain Restaurants Draft, I take my wild card of Houston's, aka Hillstone. I know this was on all of your boards. This is the ultimate chain restaurant. It is a model for restaurateurs everywhere. For many reasons, mostly for its extremely consistent food, its ice cold martinis, its excellent service, and the fact that you're probably paying 20 or 25% more than you should for the quality of what you're getting. I will always love it for the barbecue ribs and the Hawaiian steak, and I still mourn that they no longer serve their tempura style chicken tenders. You may now either mock me or shun me for taking the restaurant that all of you would have taken
in this exact same position.
to clarify, this can no longer be picked in any other category, right?
No, Houston's is off the board.
Okay.
Off the board.
Damn it.
Well, we all knew you were gonna take it, Eric. I mean,
I think any of you would have done the exact same thing. If whoever had the first pick was taking Houston's.
But how many times have we talked about Houston's or Hillstone on this podcast? Like, it comes up consistently. We all love it.
I am a religious barbecue ribs. Like, I literally don't think I've ever been there, not ordered it kind of thing. Like, that is my dish there.
We tried the Basso management team tried to go there for our manager meeting literally this past Friday.
That's too big of a table.
They laughed at us.
Yeah.
Laughed.
They have.
But we were also like, yes, ma'am, right. Yes, we, how dare we ask? Of course. Like, huh.
Big yeah, tops no. and families. You can bleep it out, Michael, but fuck off.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of rules. They won't let you wear a hat in the dining room. I will say this restaurant is so comforting to me and my friends that we ate there literally on September 11th, 2001. We were shocked by the state of the world. We were deeply troubled by what had happened. And it was obvious that we were going to dinner that night at Houston's. Where else would you go when the world has just been turned upside down and you need a good meal? Like that's how far back my history goes with Houston's. All right, let's move on. Sarah Dowling, it is up to you in round one. What is your selection?
Now you pick out any of the categories, right?
You can pick any category in any order.
So I'm going to take my breakfast pick. I'm so sorry. If it's got to be Waffle House.
Yes, I knew this was, I had a feeling this was going to go early. Yeah, tell the people why you picked Waffle House. I know that it's obvious, but tell the people.
I mean, for a multitude of reasons. I grew up, my mom was a rancher. My mom and my dad were ranchers. And I grew up in the back of a horse truck driving across this country. And Waffle House was like such a fixture of my childhood and of like, we still eat there. I met my mom to drop my kids off for them to go to the farm last week. And we ate at the one in Cypress. Like Waffle House is it. And like, Boston's kind of just fancy Waffle House if you think about it.
The Max pork steak at Waffle House is not as good.
Well, and what is the Basso Waffle? I mean, you guys do the street waffles with the caviar. No, I'm talking about the
open kitchen with the, yeah.
Yeah. You watch oh, right. House. The open kitchen with the, yeah, okay. That's fine.
Less dramatic from us, I would think, but, you know.
Yeah, more fire at Basso, less fighting at Basso.
Right.
Do you guys
right.
make Evan stand in a certain spot of the restaurant to call for wine, or is that, that's just a thing at Waffle House, I guess.
It's just a Waffle House thing.
Yeah.
She would do it. Evan would be down.
All right. Any other comments about Waffle House before we move on?
I literally ate there this morning to like get in the mindset for today's draft. So I'm very upset about this, but I understand.
I'm sorry.
All right. Abbas, we are on to you. What is your round one selection?
Okay. For my round one selection, I'm going to go steakhouse just because I feel like there's less options. And I'm going with Mastro's. And the reason I'm going with
this was on my board. Yes, go ahead.
So the reason I'm going with Mastro's is even before it opened in Houston, it was a destination for me, whether it be Chicago, whether it be, I think, Malibu. They're pretty consistent across the board, and you get that butter cake for dessert. So, yep, on Mastro's.
Yeah, I like that Mastro's has been so successful that the guys who founded it sold it to a private equity firm, sat out a non-compete, copied themselves to create Steak 48, and now have opened like almost 10 locations of Steak 48. Like it's such a durable, like luxury upscale version of a steakhouse that it's been copied by its founders even more successfully than the original version. Like that's wild to me.
Yeah, it was almost my way of choosing Steak 48, but Steak 48 doesn't really qualify for what we're doing. So
there are not enough Steak 48s yet to qualify for what we're going for here today. All right, Rafi, it's up to you. What is your first pick?
I am going to go somewhere I ate very recently in Seattle for the wild card category. I am selecting Din Tai Fung.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I am a operations restaurant nerd, and when I go to that place, I geek out at how freaking busy, consistent, and delicious it always is. From my understanding, these restaurants are doing like almost like 15 or 20 million revenue each. And I've been at the one in Vegas probably the most. I go almost every time I go to Vegas. I've been to the one in L.A., I've been to the one in Seattle multiple times. There's four in Seattle. Hopefully one here soon. I don't know if that would ever happen. It just does the best job of like giving you everything you want out of dim sum experience. Is it the best dim sum you'll ever have in the world? No. We have some places that might compare here, but it is, everything's perfect every time, from service to atmosphere. It's just, it's the definition of a great chain.
Yeah, I had it for the first and only time in Vegas a few years ago. And I had just spent a bunch of money the night before at Bizarre Meats, Jose Andres's steakhouse. And I told my buddy, I'm like, look, like, we spent a lot of money last night. I'm not going to go crazy at Din Tai Fung. But by the time I ordered all of the things that everybody told me to order, lunch for three was like $250. So it was outstanding, and it was worth every penny. And my buddies were mad at me, but screw them. You know, like, it was my first time at Din Tai Fung. I wasn't going to mess around and not get everything that I wanted.
It's amazing hangover food in Las Vegas, by the way. It's just first meal of the day.
Chelsea, we are up to you. You have both the last pick in round one and the first pick in round two.
Ooh.
Success.
Okay. You after you're watching your heartbreak, the first two picks.
Look, I prepare for these things, okay? So I have a long list of stuff to choose from. I will say this is probably the most work I've ever put into one of these drafts in terms of trying to figure out what I was going to pick. But I'm really happy to be here because I get to choose one of my white whales, one of the selections that I was really worried that people were going to take, which is my steakhouse pick, which is Texas Roadhouse. Hello.
I knew this wasn't going to make it back to me. I don't mean to interrupt, but it was basically Texas Roadhouse or Houston's for the 1-1, because I knew neither one was going to make it back to me at the end of round two.
Yeah. No, I wasn't going to, this was over my dead body sort of selection, Texas Roadhouse. I go to this place frequently. I mean, it is like a, like if my stepson is 14 and he loves Texas Roadhouse. So like we go there all the time. And I have to say, like, I am not, and the reason why I put so much work into this is because I am not really a chain restaurant that is not fast food person. I'm hard pressed for that. So, but with Texas Roadhouse being a genuine exception to that rule, because one, it's super cheap and I can feed a 14-year-old boy for very little money. And also because it's good and the rolls are great. And yeah, and you can get a $2 like shot of Patron in your margarita for on top, which is like crazy. They're handing out crazy drinks at this place. Anyway, I love Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, Michael Fulmer and I visited earlier this year. We talked about it on the show, as I think I shared during that episode. He gave the general manager the Paul Hollywood handshake on our way out the door. Like he saw the guy walking around as we were leaving and was so charmed by it that he shook the guy's hand and just congratulated him on what an excellent experience it was. Yes, Texas Roadhouse is very affordable. It is very popular, and it is exactly the kind of restaurant that we're meant to talk about in this draft. So with that said, Chelsea, kick us off for round two.
Okay, round two, since my breakfast choice got taken, which was not shocking, I'm going to go with my breakfast category here, and I'm going to go with Cracker Barrel.
That was my number two. Hell yeah.
Yeah, this was on my board too.
This is either Waffle House or Cracker Barrel. Now, like Sarah said, she grew up going to Waffle House. I grew up going to Cracker Barrel, okay? I'm white trash. Growing up, I loved Cracker Barrel, all right? On the way to go to Bolivar, we would go to the Cracker Barrel. And I love the French toast there. I love the golf tee game that I never win, ever, no matter how many times I've tried. And I think it was
designed to not be one.
Yeah. I think it was the first place that I realized that like old signs could be decor, which I was like weirdly obsessed with as a child. And also like the store crushes at Cracker Barrel. So I'm glad they got over that weird streamlined design thing they were trying to throw at us for a while and went back to the original, because that was an insane move. But yeah, love that place.
I think that design lasted like a full 2 weeks, maybe.
I know. It was why, like, it was like the Jaguar move. Like, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah. Like, it seemed like the new Coke, old Coke classic thing where it's like threatening a new design was a way to remind you how much you liked the old design and drive a little traffic to the restaurants.
Maybe that was the marketing move. They were like, maybe if we make a horrible design, we'll remind
that guy got still fired. Exists. He got fired.
Also, let me just say, my very upper middle class late father, doctor father, loved Cracker Barrel. I went to college on the East Coast, and we used to drive back and forth at the beginning and end of every school year. We had a couple of Cracker Barrels on the route that we knew were available. Like, oh, if we get to Birmingham, we can have dinner at the Cracker Barrel on the north side of the city, and then set ourselves up for an easier second day's drive. So, you know, if you pushed and drove all day, then the reward at the end of it was Cracker Barrel. So it has a universal appeal, and I wouldn't, you know, so yes, this was very much on my board. I was kind of hoping that it was going to trickle down, but again, I'm not surprised that it didn't. All right, Rafi, we are back to you in round two.
Okay, so in fantasy football, I try not to draft like interdivision Texan players, like Colts players, Jaguars players. But sometimes you have to draft people because you got to win, okay?
We know where he's going with this.
I don't know what's happening at all.
For burgers, I am going with Chili's. I don't eat at Chili's. I've worked next to one for 4 years in Austin. There's one next to Craft Pita West U. I never go, but I'm ready to win a freaking restaurant draft.
I'm sorry. Is somebody regularly dines at Chili's?
Anyway, Chili's, burgers, lock it in.
No, I knew this was going to happen because they do a half-pound cheeseburger for $15. And in this economy, that's really hard to beat. Like, it's practically drive-through prices for real food.
I think it's cheaper than fast food. Like, they have an entire commercial about how it's cheaper than fast food.
That's true, yeah. They have a marketing.
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
Wait, Rafi, you got to be specific. Which burger are you going from the Chili's menu?
I don't even know. The cheeseburger?
Dog. Come on. The old timer.
Well, whatever the classic cheeseburger they have.
The old timer, bro.
The old timer, okay.
Yeah.
The last time I ate at Chili's, I can literally tell you, is maybe like 8 years ago. I did a connection. I was going to Lima to go visit my family. I ate at the Mexico City Chili's in the airport. God. That's the last time.
I want to just say
the Mexico City airport is too.
If this was a court of law, I would be objecting to this selection right now. I feel like this is illegal.
This is hard. You have to understand, I did a lot of prep for this too. My family did not go to chain restaurants growing up. Like this, I've never been to Cracker Barrel. I've never been to Texas Roadhouse.
You've never had a triple dipper?
Yeah, the phrase that pays Rafi is Big Smasher. The half pound.
I know what a triple dipper is, and I'm pretty sure I've had one in Lebanon.
The white trash version, Robbie. It's great.
Oh, we're learning so much about each other today. I've never been more excited.
I think you did this draft to learn about each other, Eric. I don't think people, like, we're not talking about the food. It's what do these places mean to you?
Robbie, isn't a triple dipper in Lebanon just a meze plate? Like, what are
American meze.
Chili's, I grew up in a small town in Texas. Chili's is where you went, like, for prom. Like, that was a big fucking deal.
Chili's was every, like, Jewish youth group outing, every summer camp staff meeting. Chili's was a staple of my childhood, even though it has been a while since I've eaten one. But man, Southwestern egg rolls, like, can't go wrong with Southwestern egg rolls.
All right. Group trip after this.
All right. My treat. How's that? All right. Abbas, we are back to you in round two. What is your selection?
All right. I'm going to go breakfast since Cracker Barrel was taken off the board. I am going to go snooze. And, you know, snooze is pretty consistent throughout
I didn't even think about that. didn't even enter my brain. That's great.
Yeah, they've grown very fast because I feel like just a few years ago, it was only in a couple states. It was like yesterday that they had just opened the first Texas location in Austin when I was living there. But yeah, no, it's in more than 5 states and they have more than 20 locations. So I'm going snooze.
Yeah, they got that VC money and just turbo boost But yes, Snooze was on my board. It's Modern Denny's. I find their food to be a little bit sweet overall, but also very delicious and very popular. Sarah, we are back to you. What is your round two selection?
Man, I really thought I was going to, I didn't know I was going to have to do my burger this early, but because of just like the way you did that, I feel like I need to throw my burger one out there. And it is, my burger is the French dip burger from the Cheesecake Factory.
Wow. Okay.
It's good. It's a good one.
I thought about Cheesecake Factory for this category as well. Very strategic.
They've got a lot of different like burgers and everything like that, but like the French dip burger from the Cheesecake Factory is a classic.
All right. I like it. That anyone can pick any one item off that giant menu is impressive to me. I don't even know how you decide.
I mean, again, Cheesecake Factory, staple of childhood. Like when we would drive into Houston and we would go to the Galleria to go holiday shopping, it was like we went to the Cheesecake Factory and that was going out, man. That was like above Chili's. That made Chili's look like Taco Bell, going to the Cheesecake Factory. So it's like, yeah, the Cheesecake Factory. I can pick salads off of that menu. I'm like, oh, not this one. Like I have that menu pretty close to memorized, I think.
Salads there are actually pretty good.
They're great. Right.
Apparently it's a full scratch menu.
They do everything from scratch. It's a really impressive place. And that one in the Galleria was always busy growing up. I don't know what it's like anymore, but it was.
Oh, I'll bet that it's still busy. I can't imagine that it's not busy, even with what's the one across the street? No, no. Grand Lux closed. Joey's, right? Even Joey is basically fancy modern Cheesecake Factory. Even with two very similar concepts, like across the driveway from each other, I bet Cheesecake Factory still kills it.
Has to.
All right. That brings it back to me to close out round two and kick off round three. And I just want to thank all of you so much for leaving this to me, because I can take Shake Shack for my burger. And I thought, no way.
That's fast food.
No, it's fast casual.
Fast casual.
This is what I wanted to pick. This is if you were to give me a burger, but I chose Chili's again to win.
This is why I didn't ban drive-thrus, is because OG Shake Shack never had drive-thrus, and now they can't open drive-thru locations fast enough in the suburbs. But I actually eat a Shake Shack burger pretty regularly. I call it roughly quarterly. I'll roll through the one in Rice Village and pick up, you know, a double patty regular Shack burger with a, you know, maybe add the spicy peppers or something. Like I eat this regularly. It's still very good. And obviously it's inspired just a whole range of like thin patty smash burger style concepts. It also, the only thing that makes me mad about it is that they made frozen French fries acceptable to serve at quality restaurants. We used to have hand cut fresh French fries everywhere. And Shake Shack did frozen fries, and that was the end of fresh fries.
This is a bad take, but we've had this discussion before. What's
with frozen French fries?
Frozen French fries are elite.
Incredible.
I serve fresh cut French fries at the beginning of my career, and now I serve frozen French fries, and my life is so much more better and consistent for it.
No, I understand from an operations perspective that they're easier, but they're less delicious than a well-made fresh cut fry.
I think that is the caveat, is well-made. I don't think a lot of people know how to make fresh fries.
See, if you go back in the Wayback Machine, and I know we're running long, but just humor me for 2 minutes. 2010 was the peak of fries in Houston, because you had the Burger Guys, you had the Eatsy Boys, you had Bernie's Burger Bus, and you had Hubcap Grill, all making fresh cut fries of a very good quality. And then none of those places are around anymore. And I don't think that's directly related. Well, Hubcap Grill is still around, but it's so far out in the burbs that it's irrelevant for my purposes. But like we used to stand for something in this country, and Shake Shack made frozen French fries acceptable. And now we don't, there's hardly any like good fresh cut French fries are fine dining. Right, you got to go to like State of Grace or Credence for really good fresh cut fries anymore. All right, that's the end of my rant. All right, so I just took my burger. You know what? I am going to take, oh, you know what? I'm going to take my fast casual here. Give me Jersey Mike's for my fast casual. We always hear that there's a lack of good sandwiches in this town, and I've...
Wait, are you taking two at the same time?
Yeah, well, I get the last pick in round two and the first pick in round three.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Just like you got two in a row at the end of round, at the end of round one and the beginning of round two.
Oh, I guess that, I thought that was Sarah. Never mind. You did go first. Sorry, I was confused.
Okay. No, I'm happy to clarify. So yes, I am taking Jersey Mike's as my fast casual restaurant. As I said, there's it's hard, I think, to find a good sandwich, but you know, they do this with integrity. They slice the meats to order, they bake the breads. You can get, it's a very respectable East Coast style hoagie, especially in Houston where we don't have a whole lot of that. So give me Jersey Mike's as my fast casual. Sarah Dowling, that brings us back to you. What is your round three selection?
I am going to go with my steakhouse selection next. And I was debating on this one, but I've got to go with Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Mostly because of its origin story, like how she decided to name it Ruth's Chris and like why that came about and the whole kind of like slightly a little bit out of spite origin story. But Ruth's Chris is also one of those places that growing up as a kid, my grandfather, any kind of like business dinners or anything like that, he would always bring leftovers back from these business dinners, and he would either go to Trulux or Ruth's Chris. And I always liked the leftovers coming back from Ruth's Chris as a kid better. And I remember getting to go and eat there for the first time at the one in Dallas when I was like 14 or 15 with my mom. And I was like, oh my God, oh, this is so great. And it was like one of the first fancy steakhouses I ever ate in.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear this go. Obviously, it's got that New Orleans legacy or that Louisiana legacy. So it's always been a popular restaurant in Houston. The it's the sizzling plate, right? Like that's what you remember.
Like I can't pick the ultimate steakhouse in Houston because it's not a chain.
No, there's only three of them. You can't do that.
I can't pick the Taste of Texas, so I got to go with what's closest next.
Oh, I was thinking of Pappas Brothers, but yes, you can't. There's only one. There's literally only one Taste of Texas.
We see God in that salad bar. Okay.
All right. Abbas, we are back to you in round three.
All right. So I'm going to go burgers. This place has a very special place in my heart because it was the first real experience I had with a burger. And I was kind of shocked when I looked it up that they still have over 20 locations and still operate in more than 5 states. And that is Fuddruckers.
Oh. Not expecting that.
Boss, I think you and I are going to have to fight. We keep taking each other's picks.
From my understanding, the Papas still own this location over in I-10 and Bellway 8. And yeah, it's amazing.
I feel like that's the only one left in Houston, maybe.
I think so.
Yeah, the one over off of 290 and Hollister closed about a year ago.
There was one near the medical center, like
that one closed.
NRG Stadium. Well, there was one on Alameda that closed, but I thought there was another one that was combined with a Luby's.
Yeah, the combo.
Last
Luby's.
I knew, it was still open.
Yeah, that one I think has been closed for some time.
Oh well, alas. Yeah, because the one on 59 closed, you know, I was bereft because that was for years. That was my Fuddruckers. You know, our late column, the late Ken Hoffman was a huge Fuddruckers devotee. There was one in the Fountains for a long time. I don't know. Is that one? That one's probably gone too.
I think that one's gone, and that's the one that I used to go to all the time.
Is it the one in Vegas?
I mean,
they've closed the lot. They filed Chapter 9, and they've closed the lot.
Well, Rafi, we're back to you. What is your round three pick?
Man, this one is a tough one for me to decide what strategy I want to go with. But I think it's a limited category, so I'm going to go with Salt and Straw for ice cream. Mm. I believe originally out of Portland, some of the most high-quality ice cream I've had at a multi-unit level. Everyone's copied them, and it's better than Jenny's. So there you go.
Wow. Okay.
Wow, gauntlet thrown on the Jenny's take.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had Salt and Straw. I've heard wonderful things about it. I would love to see it here in Houston. Maybe someday. All right, Chelsea, we are back to you. Close out round three.
All right, what's up? Let's do burgers. Since Shake Shack and Fuddruckers has been taken, I guess Boss and I had similar like Fuddruckers childhood moments, which is great. I'm going to go with what I think might be the only other acceptable answer in this category, which is Five Guys Burgers and Fries, which is technically fast casual.
That was one of my picks too.
No, that was on my board for sure.
It is not QSR. It's fast casual.
Yeah, it's fast casual. So, I mean, what to say about Five Guys that hasn't been said? You get all those fries in the bag. Friggin' delicious. The burgers are great. I love that, like, every Five Guys looks and smells the same. There's like a Five Guys. I don't know if it's all the potatoes. But I would go there. I'd eat there, you know? I'm not saying my first choice for burgers in a town where there's, like, a million delicious, small, independent burger places, shout out Burger Bodega, that I would go to a fast casual place to get one. But if I had to, you know, I'd go to Five Guys. Good.
You could do worse.
It could do worse. I'm sure the fries are frozen, but it does feel like we're, you know, a proper country.
They're not. They're not.
Oh, hey, look at that. We used to be a country and that exists in Five Guys, apparently. So that's great.
All right. You can kick off round three, or round four, rather.
Okay. I think for this, I'm going to go with my wild card selection. And this hasn't popped up yet because I don't think there's not a category that it really fits in. But it is a true Texas homegrown chain, which is Chewy's. So I'm taking it.
Damn it.
even though they no longer serve the stuffed sopapilla, which is sad. But it is delicious. Fun fact, I used to work at Chewy's.
Same. Which so, one?
I worked at the one in Cypress when I moved home from college. I worked there for 3 weeks and I was like, I'm not working here anymore.
I figured out how they made Kirby one right when I moved back to Houston after college. Yeah.
I mean, I figured out how they made that jalapeno sauce, which is mostly just mayonnaise. And I was like, yeah, I'm out, guys. I'm gonna go. But the happy hour deal still crushes. I think the margaritas are great. Their fresh salsa is delicious. And they have what I think is the perfect thinness to crispness chip ratio if they're not too greasy. So I'd still go to a Chewy's, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I went to high school down the street from the Westheimer and Kirby location. This will always be a steak burrito will forever be my mm-hmm. Chewy's go-to. You know, I don't think they do the Hatch Festival quite as enthusiastically as they did when I was a kid, right? They used to roast them in the parking lot and make salsa and all these special dishes with them. I don't think they do that anymore. But again, like you can't, I will always have a soft spot for Chewy's.
When I worked there in 2009, the Boom Boom Enchiladas were still the Friday special and there'd be a line out of the door before we opened the door for lunch.
Boom Boom
now
Enchiladas.
They're just on the menu. But yeah, Chewy's rips hard, yeah.
All right, Rafi, we're back to you in round four.
Okay. I'm trying to win this thing. We're going to go steakhouse, and we're going to go Saltgrass Steakhouse, the Tillman Fertitta cash cow of the Landry's Empire. And again, I didn't go to these places growing up. This is the kind of place where if I would go spend the night at my white friend's house, we would go there. And that's my reference of Saltgrass.
That's super fair, honestly.
Yeah, that's 100% valid.
Yeah, that's valid.
I mean, again, like I was talking to somebody about, oh, it's so rare for restaurants to stay open for 20, 25, 30 years. And then I thought about it and I was like, you know, that's Saltgrass. It's like at Gessner in 59, basically next to the car dealership, has been there since I was either in elementary school or middle school. And that's how, like, my family, it was a regular part of our rotation. Chicken fried steak was the go-to with their tortilla soup. Low-key, one of the better tortilla soups around town, at least in my memory. No idea what it's like these days. But I will say I stayed at the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas a few years ago on the same trip that I went to Din Tai Fung. And having gotten to the hotel and just wanting something to eat, and seeing that Saltgrass, it was like, oh, fuck it. Let's just go to let's just get something to eat. Let's just go to Saltgrass. Like, we're in an amazing city for dining, but I don't want to mess with it right now. I want something that I recognize. And we went to Saltgrass, and you know what? It was still pretty good. Just saying. All right. Abbas, that brings us back to you in round four.
All right. I'm going to go with my wild card category. So this place, we have some in Houston, but like, if you're in, I don't know, like Minnesota and you need a good place to eat, you know, this place got you, and it's a Fogo de Chao.
Ooh.
That was my other steakhouse choice. I was debating.
That's a great.
Well, I thought I would get like blowback for steakhouse, cause he said it has to be a la carte.
You can pick how you want things.
No,
cooked there,
and
you can ask for what you want.
A la carte, second of all, well, I mean, it's fine. It's certainly a steakhouse. I mean, this has been ripped off endlessly. I remember going to Fogo when it was new and exciting. So yes, I affirm this is an excellent choice.
It was one of the busiest restaurants in the city at one point, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. That hard to book anymore. But also, there's so many of them now. There's so many locations in Houston, but still pretty good. All right, Sarah, close out, or no, not close out round four, but make your round four selection.
Okay. I'm going to do my fast casual next so I don't lose it. No, there was a bit of controversy about them recently with portion sizes and things like that, but I got to throw Chipotle in there.
Good choice.
That's gotta be my fast casual. Chipotle has saved my life and multiple times as a broke early 20 something year old working in this industry. So yeah, I gotta go with Chipotle. And they've had some issues and consistency issues and things like that, but I love them.
All right. Well, that brings it back to me. I have to say, I wrote down four breakfast options to consider: Waffle House, Snooze, Cracker Barrel, and then the restaurant that I am going to take to close out round four, which is First Watch. I think it's good. Like I do. They have all these fresh juices. They do that millionaire bacon, the candied bacon. Their blueberry pancakes are pretty solid. They're not too sweet. You can get it with real maple syrup. They have cocktails, obviously. This is like, I admit, this is not, I don't eat at the First Watch very often, but like every now and then as an Uber Eats breakfast delivery, I feel like a millionaire. When I get pancakes and bacon delivered to my house, I just feel like the fanciest person in the world. So give me First Watch as my breakfast pick to close out round four. And then since all of you have taken steakhouses, I'm going to leave my steakhouse till the end. And only one of you has taken ice cream. And Rafi, you may be right that Salt and Straw is better than Jenny's, but Jenny's is better than everything else. So give me Jenny's ice cream for my ice cream. I like our local ice cream shops and I patronize them and I spread my ice cream dollars around. But man, that darkest chocolate or their Jenny's coffee flavor is so good. They always have seasonal specials. They do random celebrity tie-ins, like they've got a Ted Lasso flavor going right now. I just think they, you know, and it is very creamy. It is incredibly consistent. And so give me Jenny's ice cream as my ice cream. Sarah, that brings us back to you in round five.
So I had to double check this one because I was like, oh, I don't want to say this one. And everybody be like, wait a minute. But eight different states with over 38 locations. So my wild card for chain restaurants is Papa Dough.
Good one. I had that on my list.
I thought someone was going to do that. I expected this.
It's gotta be. I went and got pasta Mardi Gras for the Bastos team the other day for family meal. Like, it's so good. The tableside Greek salad, the iced tea is always, it's the best iced tea in the city. I love iced tea. I'm very picky about it. So it is. It's so good. I love Papa Dough, man.
I am not surprised that this, and yes, this is like, I think in Houston, people think about Papacitos first as the premier Pappas concept, but Papa Dough is like, there's Papa Dough's near Chicago.
Papa Dough is also the cash cow. Papa Dough's is what makes the company money.
Their Atlanta and their Denver locations make them the most money.
Actually, you know what the busiest location in the company is? I could be wrong. It could have changed, but the San Antonio La Cantera one.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Good to know. All right. See,
fun facts.
Fun Pappas facts with former Pappas employee Rafi Nasser. All right. Well, Abbas, that brings us back to you in round five. You have both your fast casual and your ice cream still outstanding.
All right. I'm going to go fast casual. A chain out of Chicago. I used to go there every time I was in Chicago, then Phoenix. And now you can get it in Houston, and that's Portillo's. Yeah. They do an amazing Italian beef. Amazing chili cheese dog. And you can wash it down with that chocolate cake shake.
Yeah, no, this is a good example of another restaurant with a drive-through that is still very much primarily a fast casual dine-in experience. I think it's a great choice.
Thank you, Eric.
All right. Rafi, what is your round five selection?
I'm going to go with breakfast, and I'm going to go with the one local chain here, which is Shipley's Donuts. Things have changed.
I didn't know this was allowed.
What do you mean? They're all over America now.
Yeah, but this is pushing the fast food, fast casual. You don't eat at a Shipley.
Yeah, I could go eat at the one close to my house.
I don't know. I see a lot of old guys. Six tables.
All right. I'll allow it. I'm not going to disrespect a beloved local institution.
I have another option if you want me to pick something else.
No. We're going to keep it. Shipley Donuts.
Man,
but
I didn't.
It's not Shipley.
I had a lot of controversial options on here. I didn't think that would be the one.
I will just say my Shipley experience is a to-go experience.
Fair.
All right. Say something nice about Shipley and then we'll move on.
Houston staple. Been corrupted by VC money, but it's still ours.
That's a classic Houston story. I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, corrupted by money is what Houston's all about. Have you not seen the Allen Brothers poster that had mountains in it? Like
sounds risky.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Chelsea, it is back to you. You still have your fast casual and your ice cream.
Okay, so I'm going to take my fast casual. I am guilty of ordering. This is like the number one place I order on DoorDash if I DoorDash anything, because I live in Cypress, guys. It's rough out here. All right. If I want something with a vegetable, boy, I got to look around. Okay. So I ordered this on DoorDash. I don't know a lot about this company. I'm not going to lie, but I know that they have one particular thing I will order and eat, and that is Cava. I'm sorry, Rafi. I knew this was going to really upset you, and it's probably going to upset a lot of people. But again, it's really. Like,
I thought that was gonna be Rafi's pick when he said he pick within the same division.
So I'm throwing this out there, and there is shame. There is shame. Okay, I feel it. But I could get a spicy slop bowl with kale and chicken, and I can't really do that.
That's how I feel about Chipotle. It's just a bowl of slop. Like sometimes it's just what you need.
Yeah. When it's Monday or it's Sunday and I've been doing stuff all day and Jeff isn't home to cook me food, I'm ordering stuff from Cava. So I'm sorry. Public apology, but that's what I'm thinking.
I'm blessed to live inside the loop so I can order craft pita.
There you go.
For delivery, I don't have to order Cava.
Until there's a craft pita in Vintage Park at Louetta and 249, I'm kind of shit out of luck. All right.
Give me like six more years for that one.
Okay. I'll wait, brother. All right. So
kick off round six with your ice cream, please.
My ice cream is a place that we go to all the time, and I do genuinely love it, and that is Jeremiah's. Pushing the line a little bit on the ice cream, because technically it is soft serve and frozen Italian ice, but it is a sweet ice cream treat.
Gelato, Amarino, like whatever, I don't care. Like frozen dessert.
Great. Yeah, I love Jeremiah's. They have what I think is the perfect vanilla soft serve consistency, tartness, and flavor in terms of if you're going to go with like a fast food, fast, casual chain situation. And they don't judge me when I go there and get it as a quart so I can stick it in my fridge and have it whenever I want. So yeah, Jeremiah's for ice cream.
All right, Rafi, you still have your fast casual. So as the owner of a fast casual restaurant, I can't wait to hear what your fast casual pick is.
I left this last intentionally because there is a lot of variety here. And this one, again, there's a lot of ones that y'all picked that I had on my list, but the one I would eat at the most out of a fast casual place, it's kind of a post-workout meal for me if I don't feel like cooking, is Flower Child, which used to be a Fox Restaurant Group out of Scottsdale and now is owned by Cheesecake Factory. And it's just, if I need something that is healthy and isn't a slop bowl, but, you know, makes you feel good, premium price point for fast casual, but they do the job.
No, I think this is a perfectly good choice. It makes sense. Their food is consistent. It is not a restaurant that I patronize with any kind of regularity, but my experiences have been positive overall. All right, Abbas, we are back to you. You have ice cream.
All right, let me ask you this. Can I pick ice cream from a place that's sit down and it's not technically ice cream, but the dessert comes with ice cream?
Ooh. Dessert comes with ice cream, or is it an ice cream dessert?
No, you have to be able to order ice cream, like a bowl of ice cream or a cone of ice cream.
All right, fine. So not the BJ's Pizookie then.
I'm going to go with dessert. The first person I've heard talk about that thing in a week. I feel like I need to go get it. What is it? I know you're not going to pick it up, but
it's a pizza cookie. Fun fact, that's actually how I got Brady to go on my first date with me. I was like, well, what is it? So got me my wife. That dessert's special to me.
I love that.
Then I awaited in your next date night draft. All right. So what is your actual selection?
All right. So this place is an ice cream shop, and you can get a mini Pizookie. It's called the Baked Bear. And it's out of San Diego. There used to only be, obviously, one location. Now the closest one to Houston is Webster, Texas. And I was just there last week. So Baked Bear is my selection.
Webster definitely counts. I mean, yes, I've never been here, but I'm intrigued.
Very good.
Let's see. Sarah, it is back to you. You also have ice cream.
Yes. And I saved this for last because I either it was going to be gone or I was like, fine. But I got to go with Dairy Queen.
I've been waiting all draft for someone to pick Dairy Queen.
Give me an Oreo Blizzard, man. They turn it upside down. There's something. Give me Dairy Queen all day. And just the ice cream itself, like a dip cone. Let's go.
Only learned recently that there's a cherry dip cone.
Yes.
I had no idea.
We have a DQ fudge expert here, by the way.
So the fudge one is always there. The cherry one is changes. So it could be dreamsicle, it could be cherry, it could be funfetti. So that second one will always be something different.
Yeah.
So I looked up the Dairy Queen that's closest to my house, which is on Old Spanish Trail on the edge of the Third Ward. And it looks like, according to the online ordering, that they currently have cherry.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
So I've been eager to try this. But yes, I've been waiting for Dairy Queen to get selected in ice cream. The ice cream category was more or less invented for someone to pick Dairy Queen.
Yes. They just put in a Dairy Queen near us, and it's been like lines down the street to get in since it opened. Like literally people are blocking Spring Cypress to like get into this Dairy Queen. It's been the talk of the town. Let me tell
Spring
you.
Branch, we have two. So we're like,
I live by the one in Spring Branch, and I live.
Which one? There's the ghetto one, and then there's the kind of nice one.
I don't think any of them are ghetto.
Well, no, the one on Westview is decidedly run down.
And then that's
where I live too. We'll go together, Sarah. That's the one closest to my house.
Fun fact, that Spring Branch one, Fairbanks, was the first restaurant I ever opened.
No way.
Yep, no way.
Yep. Yep.
Well, and your family owns the one that I go to, right? On OST.
Yep. So I was a supervisor at that one as well.
The Dairy Queen in my hometown in Hempstead, there used to be a Dairy Queens in the 80s and 90s. There used to be playgrounds outside of them. Not play places, playgrounds. And I broke my leg on a octopus-shaped merry-go-round at the Dairy Queen because I got caught underneath it and it snapped my leg in three places. Still love it. That's my Dairy Queen.
Still drafted it anyway. Good Lord. All right.
Yeah, because I love Dairy Queen. Because you can get steak fingers and dip them in the dip cone. Come on.
That is the move. Steak fingers and ice cream.
Thank you. Somebody gets it.
All right. Well, it's back to me. And as I said, you all had all taken your steaks before my last pick, so I could hold this. And I think it's obscure enough that I don't think you guys were gonna sneak it from me. But give me the Palm. You know, it's got that New York heritage. You can get the Italian food. Like, they make a pretty good chicken parm there. They're known for the giant lobsters. And again, this is personal to me, but when they renovated the Westheimer location that is now in El Tiempo, but they, in 2013, they threw this really elaborate media dinner with dozens of us all invited, and everybody got a steak, and everybody, like, every couple got a lobster. And to this day, it's one of the most extravagant, like, medium meals I think I've ever had, just in terms of the cost of God only knows what they spent on that thing. So it will always have a soft spot in my heart. And I just think I like that downtown location. It's a little more toned down. There's fewer caricatures on the walls. But if by choosing them, they decide to put me on the wall, I'm fine with that. I'm just saying, like, it, I don't have any menu items named after me anywhere in town. So, you know, maybe by picking the Palm, I'll make it onto the wall. But that closes out the draft. Let me just review everybody's selections, starting with me, because I picked first. First Watch is my breakfast. Shake Shack is my burger. Jersey Mike's is my fast casual. Jenny's makes my ice cream. The Palm is my steakhouse. And obviously, I kick things off with my wild card, which is Houston's. We do not call it Hillstone. Sarah Dowling took Waffle House for her breakfast. Her burger comes from Cheesecake Factory. Chipotle is her fast casual. Dairy Queen spins her ice cream. Ruth's Chris is her steakhouse, and her wild card is Papa Doe. Abbas picked Snooze for his breakfast, Fuddruckers for his burgers, Portillo's for his fast casual, The Baked Bear for his ice cream, Mastro's is his steakhouse, and Fogo de Chao is his wild card. Rafi Nasser took Shipley Donuts as his breakfast pick, Chili's for his burgers, Flower Child for fast casual, Salt and Straw for ice cream, Saltgrass Steakhouse for his steakhouse, and Din Tai Fung as his wild card. Chelsea Thomas took Cracker Barrel for breakfast, Five Guys for burgers, Cava for fast casual, Jeremiah's for ice cream, Texas Roadhouse for her steakhouse, and her wild card is Chewy's. Sarah, what was one restaurant on your board that you ultimately didn't pick?
That I didn't pick or got taken from me?
That you didn't pick, that was left on the cutting room floor, as it were.
Well, I honestly, it was when you guys all started picking ice cream, I was like, oh, Dairy Queen's safe. It'll be okay. The one that got left on the cutting room floor and was debated, it was Cold Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought about Marble Slab too, obviously.
Yeah, well, it's Marble Slab. I couldn't remember if it was, like, Marble Slab in my brain is just Texas. I've never seen it anywhere else. So I would have to ask a bunch of questions about that.
It was between Marble Slab and Baked Bear for me.
Abbas, what else did you ultimately not pick? Or what was one thing?
Okay, so one thing that was left off that I would have definitely picked, but I got to play to win, and the judge really matters. So this place is in New York. It's in five states, over 20 locations. That's 7th Street Burger. So I've been friends with the guy since he had one location. I've seen him grow. He's been a mentor to me. But I got to play to win. I don't know if the judge has necessarily had 7th Street Burger, so couldn't choose that.
Yeah, if this draft were taking place in Boston instead of Houston, someone would have picked Friendly's for ice cream. Yeah. Give me a Fribble all day long. Chelsea, what about you? What did you think about picking?
I mean, this is hard for me, but I think the ones that I left off that I didn't pick were the Olive Garden. Which,
what do you think about that?
Milton's recently did an Olive Garden dinner for a private client, and that was ridiculous and very silly. And then I would say for ice cream, my second pick, which I didn't think anyone would go with Jeremiah's, but my second pick was Brahms for sure, which exists in five states. I did have to check.
I thought it's Texas.
It's mostly Oklahoma, but there's some in Missouri, Texas, Kansas, and I think Nebraska. But I love Brahms ice cream so much. So that was on there. And then for fast casual, I was also thinking about picking Primo's. And I learned that the Washington Avenue location closed, which made me mad.
Both Houston locations of Primo Hoagie flamed out.
They said Audi,
which does nothing to dispute the notion that Houston is not a sandwich town.
It as a sandwich person, that's just upsetting.
You know, wow. the place that took it over, like, completely ripped off their concept. It's called New York Subs.
Great. I'll go there.
Oh, good. Maybe I'll try that.
Same location on Washington Ave.
Perfect. Exactly. That's just what I need.
I think the other wild part I wanted to throw out there was Benihana, too. I feel like Benihana is very iconic.
Rafi, how about you?
For ice cream, I just tried it this weekend, Handel's. And it was actually pretty good. Oh, I was pretty impressed.
That Ella Boulevard.
We just went, I think, yesterday or Saturday. Really good. Steakhouse. Fort Worth, Texas doesn't have a lot of nice restaurants. In college, we used to go there to Del Frisco's to celebrate a lot. Now Landry's. And I know the one in New York in particular is like one of the highest revenue restaurants in New York City.
Del Frisco's is on my list, but I think there's only 15 locations.
The hard part with steakhouse is all those like chain steakhouse, they really don't differentiate. They've either all copied Morton's or all copied Capital Grill. That was a really tough category for me.
I thought somebody was going to take Capital Grill, like, because it's kind of a quintessential.
It's miserable. Steakhouse. It is devoid of any soul of cooking. It's a place you spend your corporate card, but that's what it is. So yeah, those were my options. And then breakfast, Chick-fil-A was one of my options.
Chick-fil-A
breakfast goes hard.
Yeah, we're skirting the fast casual fast food line with Chick-fil-A. I only ever interact with that restaurant through a drive-thru.
I think people are going to, your listeners are going to be like, how the hell did nobody say Applebee's for anything?
I know, right?
Applebee's would have been a good burger choice. I thought about Jay Alexander's. If I didn't get Houston's, I thought about Jay Alexander's because it's basically a Houston's clone.
I mean, I feel like Applebee's would have been a choice for like best fast casual, best like chain restaurant bar program. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say too.
Oh yeah, we could have done cocktails. It would have been Applebee's all day.
I have to stay away from Applebee's. There's a touch tune in that place. I have to stay away.
No Outback either.
No, yeah, I have the app. I have a problem.
I was surprised no one took a wing restaurant. Like nothing.
Yeah, I had Wingstop on my fast casual.
That would have been a good choice.
Talk about burgers. Their burger's pretty good. Buffalo Wild Wings.
Mm-hmm.
Man, B-Dubs is not good anymore, though. Ten years ago, they're amazing. Closing it,
right? Like the one in Midtown is gone. Is that one next to Costco still around? I think maybe not.
I don't think so, but it seems like they're moving towards like a Wingstop motto.
Wingstop model and bar.
Model.
And bar, yeah. They have mini corn dogs that I remember 14 years ago when I was pregnant with my oldest that I would go and eat almost every day after my day of work. And then I went in there one day and they didn't have them and I cried. So Buffalo Wild Wings mini corn dogs are pretty fucking good.
Producer Michael Carroll, I feel like you might have a take on this. Was there one restaurant that you've been shouting at the screen for us to pick that nobody picked?
I just kind of echoing. I'm surprised no wing places got selected. Wingstop being the prime one, but I think most of the selections were pretty on point. Like I didn't have one that stood out to me that I was yelling or throwing anything at the screen.
All right, I take comfort. I take some comfort in that. All right, well, thank you all for participating. I have asked none other than Winnie's chef and co-owner Graham Laborde to serve as our guest judge. He will review the results and pick
the
winner.
This is very his wheelhouse.
Yeah, the only reason Graham isn't drafting with us is that he had a schedule conflict and was not available. So he is our guest judge, and I think he will render a fair and impartial verdict.
Very opinionated person. So he has his ideas.
To know Graham is to love Graham, and really no better judge for this particular contest. Anyone have any last thing to say? Any final thoughts?
I think we learned a lot about each other.
Yeah.
It was a learning experience.
This may be the most, this and the date night drafts are way more personal than some of the other ones.
I'm like, if I see your name pop up on the roster at Basso anytime soon, I'm going to call you and be like, no, man, I'm canceling this. We're going to Chili's. Get in the car.
Yeah,
we're going to Chili's.
What I learned about my best friend Rafi is he's way more bougie than I thought he was.
Sarah lives down the street from me. We're doing a steak finger and DQ date very soon.
All right. Well, there is nothing left to do but to thank my panel, just going clockwise around the screen. Rafi Nasser, Chelsea Thomas, Abbas Danani, and Sarah Dowling. Again, thank you. That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. As I said, on Thursday, I will be back with Graham Laborde to pick a winner. Woo-hoo.